new cases. Do we want to take a 5-minute break, or are we good to go? Board thoughts?
I'll go through.
We'll push through. All right. I like it. I like the competitiveness of it. New cases. First case, 2021-194. Ms. Blanco. Good morning or afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chairman of the Board. Mr. Chairman, member of the Board, Michelle Blanco, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former South Tucson Department of Public Safety Sergeant Paul South. South Tucson Officer Courtney M. authored an email to her chain of command alleging Sergeant Paul South made inappropriate comments about her appearance, touched her inappropriately while at work, and this type of inappropriate behavior was unwanted and created a hostile work environment. An IA investigation revealed that while assigned as her FTO and later as her supervisor, the two spent a substantial amount of time working together. They often had conversations in the patrol vehicle that turned personal in nature. An internal investigation determined that Sergeant South made comments about Officer Courtney M's physical appearance, touched her hand, massaged her shoulders, and asked her out for drinks and dancing. Sergeant South stated comments and behavior was taken out of context. The IA further revealed in August of 2021, Sergeant South started patrol shifts with a process referred to as his daily issue, which consisted of hugging and kissing Officer Courtney M prior to her going in service. Officer Courtney M claimed kisses started at the top of her head but progressed downwards to her forehead, to which Sergeant South denied this progression downwards. Officer Courtney M said all comments and touching by Sergeant South were unsolicited, unwanted, and found them offensive. His behavior caused her stress and made her not want to come to work. Sergeant South admitted to giving Officer Courtney M a hug and kiss as a part of his daily issue and stated it was common for him to also hug and kiss other female employees and other members of the community. He admitted, after thinking about it, this type of behavior was probably not appropriate, but he was never told it was unwelcomed. Sergeant South felt his actions were appropriate because of the relationship they developed, reinforced by casual text messages, personal conversations, visits to his house, stopping by while he ate dinner with his family. He thought of Officer Courtney M as a daughter. Records provided by South Tucson show Sergeant South attended online sexual harassment training in March 2021. South Tucson sustained numerous policy violations against Sergeant South. He was placed on administrative leave August 2021, and he resigned on September 24, 2021. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. Does the board have any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Mike. Questions, comments? Not entertain a motion.
Move to initiate proceedings against Mr. South's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Colonel. Second?
Second.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-178. Mr. Bradshaw. Good afternoon. Got stuck on that.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Richard Bradshaw, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former recruit Sergio Anaya with the Gilbert Police Department. On September 5th, 2021, recruit Anaya was attending the academy as a Gilbert Police Department recruit. Recruit Anaya was observed stenciling his last name onto a white T-shirt in the recruit locker room. Recruits had been previously instructed to prepare their physical conditioning shirts prior to the start of the police academy. Recruit Anaya was questioned by a recruit training officer, and recruit Anaya stated he had mistakenly grabbed the wrong shirt before reporting to the academy and that he had left his stenciled shirt at home. Recruit Anaya was asked by the RTO if they were driven to his house at the completion of physical conditioning, would he be able to retrieve the completed shirt, and recruit Anaya answered yes. Later in the day, the RTO confronted recruit Anaya again about the PC shirt being actually completed the night prior at, excuse me, as instructed, and recruiter admitted he had not done so. Recruiter and I was questioned about his dishonesty as to why he said it was completed earlier, and he stated that he had just panicked. Recruiter and I was released from the academy training and was terminated from the Gilbert Police Department September 15th, 2021. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bradshaw. Questions, comments? I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Officers, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Anaya.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Weiss. Further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2020-124. Mr. Caldwell. Good afternoon.
Chairman, members of the board, Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves Vincent Carpenter, formerly an officer with the Chandler Police Department. In 2019, the Chandler Police Department's Use of Force Board requested further training for Officer Carpenter. After reviewing his previous use of force cases, members noticed increased aggressiveness, verbal escalation, and what they termed physical contact with the neck of suspects and detainees. Carpenter was placed on a performance improvement plan and completed remedial training on officer conduct, decision-making, and avoidance of the neck and throat of arrestees. Almost 1 year later, on March 29, 2020, Chandler officers arrested a man named Jason for violating a protective order and spitting on an officer. Officer Carpenter transported Jason to a detention center, and on the way, Jason made derogatory and threatening comments and possibly urinated on the floor of the patrol vehicle. Upon arrival at the facility, Officer Carpenter escorted Jason inside, and the resulting use of force was captured on body cam footage, which we'd like to show you now. The footage is only about 2 minutes, give or take a little bit.
Serious problem if you keep screwing with me. You understand? You move when I tell you to move. You do what I say when I say. I am at the end of my patience with you. Now, do you want to go down or do you want to stand here nicely while I get the door? Don't move. Face the wall. Face the wall. Right there. Don't move.
You're fucked. Yeah, I didn't do anything to you. I wouldn't do anything to you, man. You smacked my fucking head against the wall for nothing. You see it? You're fucked. Sit down. You smacked my fucking head against the wall for nothing. You're fucked.
Thank you, Dale. Jason filed a complaint alleging Officer Carpenter choked him and used excessive force. The Gilbert Police Department conducted a criminal investigation and closed the case, saying no crime had occurred. During the administrative investigation, Officer Carpenter asserted his use of a pressure point control tactic, controlled resistive behavior, and he never impeded the suspect's breathing. Chamber Officer Thudium, a subject matter expert in defensive tactics, reviewed the incident and determined Officer Carpenter used excessive force. Officer Thudium's opinion was that Officer Carpenter improperly applied a pressure point control technique, putting his hand on or around the throat of a suspect who was not displaying active aggression. Chandler sustained policy violations against Officer Carpenter relating to excessive use of force and unbecoming conduct, and he was terminated from the agency. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Questions? Comments?
Yeah.
Colonel?
You know, it's the use of force thing again. It's interpretive. I don't understand why these are coming to the board on a case like this and why it's not just being adjudicated by the agency. They determine what they want to do. They don't want to keep them, they don't keep them. They want to discipline them, they discipline them. I keep feeling some of these use of force cases are being deferred to us. And I will say again, it's going to get to a point that what we're going to do is we're going to have hearings here before we do this, and we're going to want to hear use of force experts from all over the state come in and tell us whether this is that bad or it's not that bad and whether we should refer it or not refer it. If their expert said it was excessive for them, that's great. Let it be at their agency. But I don't think it's this board's place. If they want to submit it to the county attorney and the county attorney says that it was a crime, then let the county attorney proceed and do whatever they're going to do. But I don't understand why these use of force cases come up to us and then we send it off, and then it comes back. I don't get it. There's a lot that's not in that video. We're not freeze-framing the video. We're not breaking the video down to the nth degree to see exactly what transpired, exactly what his hand placement was, like they would in a trial. I struggle with these use of force places, especially where it's like they use the mandibular angle, like it's this horrific use of force. You know, it's a thumb. So I just want to make a comment on that.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman, if I could, just so everyone understands the process. In this case specifically, Chandler Police Department terminated this officer for this action. As part of our rules, when someone separates from an agency, they're required to submit what we call a termination report. And part of that report is whether or not there was misconduct. If the box is marked for misconduct, comes to us, we open a case. There's only two ways to adjudicate a case. One is to present it to the board and let you determine what, if any, action to take. The other is for us to administratively close this. We collectively get together every week and review these cases, and we talk about those, and we do administratively close a handful of cases probably every month or two. In this case, as me being the final authority on this, I wasn't comfortable administratively closing this. I was comfortable bringing this to the board to let the board decide on how they wanted to handle this matter. And again, as you know, it's in your purview to take no action and put it back on to agency discretion. That's well within your rights. But again, I feel personally that sometimes these cases need to come before you for me to have a better understanding in the future on what cases I might be comfortable administratively closing. And I'm just not there yet on use of force cases.
Director, if I may, and I appreciate that. I understand that that's the process in which these cases get here. But then we have that page at the end that gives a recommendation, and then it gives us the verbiage to articulate the recommendation. But I think there should be equal verbiage in there. It says, you know, if we're going to give that recommendation, the other recommendation would be there. And I know I've got the sheet over here that I can look at, but again, it seems to be when this sheet is here, that's kind of the direction where it's almost tacitly implied that that's the direction we're supposed to go.
Understood, and I will tell you, in this case, our group that gets together, and again, I'm the final authority on what the recommendation is, I do believe that the recommendation we gave you is what we take from the totality of the circumstances to initiate. But again, you have the authority to disregard it. And what I would ask is if you would like, in the future, in cases involving use of force, we could just forego giving you a recommendation, and we could just leave it up to the board's discretion. We're happy to do that as well. Again, what I'm getting at is we're looking for that final direction from the board on what you'd like to see and what you wouldn't like to see regarding use of force cases.
I respect that, Director. I think we all do in that aspect. So, any more comments, questions? Now I'll entertain a motion.
Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Carpenter's peace officer certification.
We have a motion. Do we hear a second?
I second the motion.
Mr. Johnson. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Chair votes nay also. The motion carries. Next case.
Chair?
Yes?
Can I just go back to that one? What were the dates, just for the record, of his employment?
It's reversed, I think.
Mr. Chairman, I noticed that the other day when I was preparing. I believe Billy, correct me wrong, but it's 2001, not 2021.
I've noticed the typo about 5 minutes before I walked up here. Yes, ma'am. It's November 13th, 2001, instead of 2020.
Thank you.
Next case, 2021-215, Mr. Delton. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Mike Delton, one of your compliance specialists. These first two cases that I have to present to you this afternoon are Kathy Hodge's case, and I'm presenting on her behalf. This first case involves former Tucson police officer Harvey Calloway. On June 1st, 2019, Officer Calloway was off duty and was involved in a domestic violence incident with his wife, Brooke, stemming from the fact that Brooke was refusing to pay her car rent. During his criminal interview, Calloway admitted to a physical confrontation with Brooke. He said he straddled her while she was on the sofa and grabbed her face to keep her from turning away. He claimed that she swung at him with her closed fist and hit him 3 to 5 times. He admitted to striking her with an open palm approximately 6 times. At the conclusion of the criminal investigation, it was determined Calloway physically engaged his wife by straddling her, grabbing her face, and striking her with an open palm 6 times, approximately. This physical act was the basis for a criminal charge of domestic violence assault. His actions during this event led to a physical confrontation in which both parties received minor injuries, and Brooke's refusal to pay her a portion of the rent was not justification for this physical action. Calloway was on probation and was terminated prior to completion of the internal investigation. Based on the sustained allegation of domestic violence assault, the Office of Professional Standards Bureau, or Office of Professional Standards, determined the disciplinary act would have been termination. This case was dismissed by the city prosecuting attorney, and based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. We have to answer the questions.
Thanks, Don. Questions, comments? Now to entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oscus, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Calloway's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-231. Ms. Delton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Tucson Police Officer Keith Miranda. On October 3rd, 2019, Officers Keith Miranda and Jason Dragon, both with the Tucson PD, were working an off-duty job at the Ronstadt Transit Center in Tucson. They contacted an individual named Elias, who was later determined to be 17 years of age and was smoking on the property. It was determined that he was not there for the purpose of using mass transit, which is required in order to remain on the property. He refused to leave the property, and when officers tried to detain him, he responded with defensive resistance. He continued to resist and was taken to the ground, eventually handcuffed, and taken to a kiosk where officers prepared paperwork. Elias was placed in a seated position on the floor with his hands handcuffed behind his back. He attempted to stand up, and Officer Miranda used his own body weight to push Elias back to the ground. As Officer Miranda was leaning over Elias, Elias turned his head toward Officer Miranda and spit directly into Officer Miranda's face. Officer Miranda responded by punching Elias once in the face with his right fist. There were no reported injuries to Elias. A criminal investigation was conducted and submitted to the Pima County Attorney's Office, who declined to file charges against Officer Miranda, stating there was insufficient evidence to establish the likelihood of conviction. Officer Miranda received an 80-hour suspension as a result of an administrative investigation. Officer Miranda served the 80-hour suspension and continued working at Tucson PD. His attempt to appeal the suspension was unsuccessful, and he ultimately resigned from the Tucson PD, effective January 11, 2021. Officer Miranda has since applied with the Arizona Wesleyan College Police Department and was appointed by that department on August 23, 2021, which is where this incident was discovered during an audit of the new hire file. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions on this.
Thank you, Mr. Elton. Questions, comments?
I know where to begin. So they already took care of it in Tucson. It was already done. He applies for a job at another agency.
Yes.
This guy spits in his face and he punches him once.
Yes.
I'll wait to make my own motion, but I'll just listen.
Any other comments? Questions?
Mr. Chairman, I think for the first time I'm on board with the Colonel.
You got a friend.
Finally.
I mean, someone spent
it's a lonely face. Island.
Can you, I mean, when someone spits a loogie or something in your face, how many people would not first instinct
respond
to deck them? I mean, I have to speak with this one.
Mr. Chair, FOMO here.
Yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we take no further action in this matter and let it die.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Ms. White.
Second?
Second, Colonel. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, you got to say an aye.
Aye.
All opposed, you got to say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Phoenix police officer Malcolm Buckner. This case encompasses two separate Phoenix PD Professional Standards Bureau reports sent to Arizona Post at the same time. The first report states that on April 10th, 2021, Officer Buckner displayed unprofessional conduct when he was involved in a physical fight with Officer Jonathan Chavez while both were on duty in a full uniform. Officer Buckner was working his patrol shift when Officer Chavez became upset about Officer Buckner's work ethic during the shift. Both officers began sending mobile data to computer, MDCs, messages to each other and with other officers until Officer Chavez agreed to go to Officer Buckner's location where he was parked to talk about the disagreement. While on duty and in full uniform, an in-person argument occurred as Officer Chavez stood outside Officer Buckner's vehicle. Officer Buckner later told investigators he exited his vehicle and was pushed by Officer Chavez. In response, he pushed Officer Chavez back. Officer Buckner admitted to taking a fighting stance after Officer Chavez displayed a fighting stance toward him. Officer Buckner then engaged in a physical fight with Officer Chavez and they began striking each other with closed fists. As a result, Officer Chavez suffered a lacerated lip, which required medical treatment. Officer Chavez told PSB investigators that he met up with Officer Buckner, and the argument became physical. Officer Chavez stated he did not remember who initiated the physical fight or how he got cut. The allegation Officer Buckner displayed unprofessional conduct in the workplace when he physically fought Officer Chavez was sustained by the Phoenix PD. The second report states that on July 2nd, 2021, Officer Buckner visited the Mandalay Bay Resort Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. While at the Daylight Beach Club inside the Mandalay Bay property, Officer Buckner became intoxicated. He and his girlfriend Bethany got into a verbal argument, which caught the attention of Mandalay Bay security guards. When the security guards approached Officer Buckner, he identified himself as a police officer and became confrontational with security. Officer Buckner got face-to-face with Michael, the assistant security manager, and made comments such as, quote, I can take all three of you, and I have jurisdiction over the whole West Coast. For approximately 10 minutes, Michael and his security guards gave Officer Buckner several warnings to leave the property. Officer Buckner ultimately walked off the Mandalay Bay property, but returned and reconfronted security despite the security guards telling him not to. Officer Buckner was handcuffed by security and escorted to the security office where Las Vegas Metro PD was called to respond. When Vegas Metro PD arrived, Michael, the security manager, declined to prosecute Officer Buckner for trespass or assault. Vegas Metro PD officers reviewed the surveillance video of the incident and assisted Michael, who provided Officer Buckner with the official trespass notice from all MGM properties, including the Mandalay Bay. The Vegas Metro PD officers released Officer Buckner and escorted him off the property. The next day, on July 3rd, Officer Buckner spoke to his supervisor, Sergeant Eric Roy, on the phone. Officer Buckner told Sergeant Roy that he was trespassed by Mandalay Bay security after he and his girlfriend had an argument. Sergeant Roy asked Officer Buckner if he had any police contact, and Officer Buckner assured him he was only contacted by security guards. Sergeant Roy called the Mandalay Bay Security Office to verify Officer Buckner's statements and learned Vegas Metro PD had been called and spoke directly to Officer Buckner. During his interview with Professional Standards Bureau investigators, Officer Buckner acknowledged that he remembered Vegas Metro PD being on scene and stated he called Sergeant Roy to advise him of that. Officer Buckner said Sergeant Roy asked him if he had police contact, and he responded to the question, quote, no, not until the end. Officer Buckner admitted that his response to Sergeant Roy was confusing, and it was his responsibility to ensure that Sergeant Roy understood with complete certainty that Vegas Metro PD was called to investigate an alleged crime. The allegation that Officer Buckner acted unprofessionally by consuming alcohol to the extent that his actions brought discredit to the Phoenix Police Department was sustained. The allegation that Officer Buckner provided false, misleading, or deceptive information to his direct supervisor regarding police contact and involvement in the investigation was also sustained by the Phoenix PD. No criminal reports were written regarding either incident. On October 20th, 2021, Officer Buckner resigned his employment with the Phoenix PD, and based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Elton. Questions, comments? Not entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chief Oscar, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Buckner's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-209. Mr. Delton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves former Yavapai County Sheriff's Office Deputy Cody Molzan. On September 1st, 2021, Deputy Molzan's live-in girlfriend, Kerrigan, was interviewed by Prescott Police Sergeant Joseph Mullen after she had notified a friend of an alleged assault. She described two events. The first event took place in an evening on a weekend sometime in July at her residence on Mountain Lake. Kerrigan said that she and Deputy Molzan lived together and were home eating ice cream cones in their kitchen. Kerrigan said her child, age 4, was on the couch in the living room just beside the kitchen. Kerrigan said that she dapped ice cream on Deputy Molzan's nose in a playful manner, and she said Deputy Molzan responded by doing the same thing back to her, but hurt her in the process. Kerrigan said that Deputy Molzan had grabbed her by the hair on the back of her head and started pulling her back while putting ice cream on her face. She said that this hurt, and she was saying ouch while it was happening. Kerrigan said that she ended up on the floor by being yanked down with her hair. She was upset with Deputy Molzan for doing this and described that Deputy Molzan took a playful thing and made it into something else. Kerrigan said when this happened, it smeared her makeup, so she went in to clean up and then afterwards sat down with her son on the couch, who had just witnessed this. Kerrigan explained Deputy Molzan knew she was upset and ended up throwing a flip-flop type shoe at her while she was consoling her son. Kerrigan said that being pulled by the hair really hurt, and she did not think Deputy Molzan realized what he was doing because he was intoxicated at the time. Kerrigan stated the flip-flop hitting her did not hurt her and did not injure her. Kerrigan then described the second incident, which took place on the evening prior to a funeral of a Prescott Valley officer. This funeral took place on August 21, 2021, which placed the incident occurring on August 20th. Kerrigan said Deputy Molzan came home very intoxicated with his three kids around 10:30 to 11 p.m. and had been dropped off by his brother. Kerrigan explained that Deputy Molzan was so intoxicated he could not care for his children, so she said she took care of Deputy Molzan's kids that night, and then he began fighting with her. Kerrigan said Deputy Molzan wanted to attend the funeral the next day with him, and she did not want to. She said she started recording Deputy Molzan with her cell phone because she knew something was going to happen because of their experiences in the past. Kerrigan described that she was in her bedroom laying on the bed, and Deputy Molzan kept coming in and out of the bedroom, shutting the door and slamming the door and arguing. She said at one point Deputy Molzan saw her video recording him and came up to her on the bed. Kerrigan said that she did not know what Deputy Molzan's intent was, but guessed that he probably was going for her phone since he saw her recording. Kerrigan said Deputy Molzan knocked the phone from her hand, causing the phone to hit her face, which scared the crap out of her, quote unquote. During the interview with Sergeant Poland, Deputy Molzan described the interview or the argument where Kerrigan put ice cream on his face and then he put ice cream in her face. He said that they had laughed about it later that night, but she was upset because she had brand new eyelashes. Deputy Molzan explained that Kerrigan has brought this event up since, and added that Deputy Molzan pulled her hair and was wasted at the time. Sergeant Poland explained to Deputy Molzan that what Kerrigan had told him about the ice cream fight and brought up the accusation that he threw a flip-flop at her, Deputy Molzan's response was, quote, Jesus, no. Regarding the incident with the cell phone, Deputy Molzan stated Kerrigan was on the bed and he was standing next to the bed when this occurred. Deputy Molzan said that when he reached out for the phone, he touched the phone and then he walked away. Sergeant Poland clarified with Deputy Molzan that reaching out for the phone was an attempt to get her to stop recording him, and he agreed that that was the case and it was reactionary on his part. Sergeant Poland concluded his investigation and submitted domestic violence assault charges to the City of Prosecutor's Office. October 7, 2021, Deputy Molzan was charged with disorderly conduct by fighting and assault in the City of Prescott Municipal Court, to which he pled not guilty. His criminal case is currently pending with a pretrial conference scheduled for June 1, 2022. Policy violations were sustained against Deputy Molzan regarding the alleged assault, and on November 4, 2021, his employment was terminated. However, he is appealing this. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer your questions.
Thank you, Jeff. Questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Molzan's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson will second that motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any more discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-196. Mr. Dalton, back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case involves current Phoenix Police Officer Jonathan Portillo Chavez. On March 4, 2021, Officers Jonathan Portillo Chavez, Justin Mercer, and Ryan Smith contacted a gentleman by the name of Lazar after they saw him speaking with a female at 27th Avenue in Montebello. During the stop, Lazar recorded the officers with his cell phone and requested the officers tell him the reason they stopped him. Officer Portillo Chavez told Lazar they stopped him for speaking to a prostitute. Officer Portillo Chavez asked Lazar if the reason he spoke to the prostitute was that he could not otherwise, quote, get any. Officer Portillo Chavez and Lazar engaged in a few verbal exchanges where Lazar directed crude remarks at Officer Portillo Chavez. Lazar asked Officer Portillo Chavez if he was afraid after Lazar saw Officer Portillo Chavez manipulate his firearm by releasing the retention while it was still in his holster. In turn, Officer Portillo Chavez asked Lazar if he was afraid. Officer Portillo Chavez then asked Lazar if he watched the news. Lazar responded and intimated he was not worried about dying. Officer Portillo Chavez responded that Lazar should, quote, keep that in mind. In his complaint, Professional Standards Bureau investigators, Lazar stated he took this as a threat from Officer Portillo Chavez. Additionally, Officer Portillo Chavez imitated Lazar, I got that word right. He imitated Lazar by changing his voice to sound like a baby. Officer Portillo Chavez appeared to do this to mock Lazar after he called a person who the officer believed was Lazar's mom to respond to the location of the stop. As Officer Portillo Chavez imitated Lazar, Officer Smith laughed. Officer Portillo Chavez also flipped Lazar off just prior to ending the contact with Lazar. Officer Mercer remained in his patrol vehicle for the bulk of the contact to perform records checks. And however, towards the end of the contact, Officer Mercer made an unprofessional comment about the beads in Lazar's hair. During the interview, Officer Portillo Chavez explained the handle or grip of his firearm is his natural resting point for his hand, while his firearm is in its holster. Officer Portillo Chavez stated that he trains with his firearm often, and when he grips the handle of his firearm while in the holster, it is a form of practice. Officer Portillo Chavez stated he sometimes manipulates his firearm, but does not do it as a form of intimidation. Officer Portillo Chavez explained his verbal exchange with Lazar when Officer Portillo Chavez asked Lazar if he watched the news. The officer stated he did not intend to comment. He did not intend his comment to be a threat. He stated he wanted to know why Lazar was recording the stop. Officer Portillo Chavez admitting to flipping Lazar off, and he said that he understood his gesture to mean basically, quote unquote, basically F you. And Officer Portillo Chavez further explained, quote, I was pretty upset and I should have pulled back. Officer Portillo Chavez also explained his imitation of Lazar. He said that he imitated Lazar in a baby voice because Lazar called who he believed was Lazar's mother and sister to the scene. Officer Portillo Chavez explained that he wanted to highlight Lazar was not able to handle the situation without his mother. Officer Portillo Chavez summarized his entire contact with Lazar and said, the entire interaction was me and Lazar going back and forth, and I'll admit some of the stuff that I said was unprofessional, and I just believe it was just one of those days where I let him get the better of me and kind of just exploded. Phoenix PD determined that collectively, Officer Portillo Chavez's behavior towards Lazar was unprofessional and amounted to harassment and intimidation. Officer Portillo Chavez received a 240-hour suspension and remains appointed with the Phoenix Police Department. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Elton. Questions, comments?
Yeah, just a couple. One, it sounds like he was contrite during this. He admitted to any wrongdoing. The department retained him.
Yes, sir.
They gave him a maximum suspension.
Yes, sir.
And he's still working for him?
That's correct.
Okay.
Other comments, questions? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
I make a motion we take no action and refer back to agency discretion.
Do I hear a second? Thank you, Colonel. Second, Chief. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, signal or saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, saying nay.
Nay.
Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2022-001. Mr. Delton, last case of the day.
Thank you. This case involves former Phoenix Police Officer Danny Rubio. On December 23, 2021, AZ Post received information from a citizen of possible criminal misconduct by Officer Danny Rubio. The complaint information was forwarded to the Phoenix PD's Professional Standards Bureau by AZ Post staff for follow-up and investigation into the alleged criminal conduct. On March 2, 2022, AZ Post received the Phoenix Police Department Professional Standards Bureau investigative report, which sustained misconduct against former Officer Danny Rubio as follows. On or about May 5, 2021, Officer Rubio applied for and received the Essential Workers Child Care Relief Benefits available through the Arizona Department of Economic Security, or DES. Officer Rubio was not eligible for this benefit because his income exceeded the maximum amount established by DES. Officer Rubio falsely answered one of the qualifying questions on the DES application, which asked, quote, do you have a household income of $65,000 or less before taxes and other deductions? Because of his household income application with DES, he checked yes as being under $65,000. He made less than, in fact, he did make less than $65,000. So that's where he falsified the application, claiming that he made less than $65,000 in 1 year. Officer Rubio received the benefit of $5,976.25 from DES, which was paid directly to his children's daycare services that he received. Officer Rubio told Professional Standards Bureaus and Bureau investigators later that he did not remember reading that question, which asked the income amount of $65,000 or less. Officer Rubio's last paycheck of 2020 showed a year-to-date total gross income of over $70,000. In the four quarters leading up to May 5, 2021, Officer Rubio made over $72,000. DES investigated and requested the Maricopa County Attorney's Office charge Officer Rubio with three felony crimes, which included theft and two separate fraudulent schemes charges. The Maricopa County Attorney's Office declined prosecution, citing no reasonable likelihood of conviction. During Officer Rubio's Professional Standards Bureau interview, he disclosed that he had not filed his income taxes since 2017. Moreover, Officer Rubio underwent a background investigation as part of his Phoenix PD hiring process on November 6, 2018. Officer Rubio answered, quote, no, to a question on his background packet, which read, quote, do you have any outstanding obligations to the Internal Revenue Service? Phoenix PD Detective Francetic was Officer Rubio's background investigator, and he told Professional Standards Bureau investigators that he advised Officer Rubio the question, including the filing of taxes, included a follow-up of, did you actually file your taxes with the IRS? In a follow-up interview, Officer Rubio told Professional Standards Bureau investigators he did not think he owed money to the IRS, and that's why he believed what the question meant when he was asked that. Officer Rubio said he is not sure if he filed taxes for the year 2017. He just knew it's been more than 3 years since he filed state or federal income taxes. The allegation that Officer Rubio did not file his income tax for multiple years, meeting the elements of a felony crime, was sustained by Phoenix PD. The allegation that on November 6, 2018, Officer Danny Rubio made untruthful statements to his background investigators when he indicated he had no obligations to the IRS was unresolved. Phoenix PD sustained the allegation that on or about May 5, 2021, Officer Danny Rubio committed elements of a felony crime when he submitted a fraudulent application to the Arizona DES under penalty of perjury to obtain benefits for which he did not qualify. The Phoenix Police Department has advised AZ Post staff that Officer Rubio's employment was terminated. However, AZ Post has not received a termination report or a date of the termination. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Galvin. Questions, comments? Not entertain a motion.
I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Rubio's police officer's association.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Further discussion? There are none. All in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, I say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-243. Ms. Echo. Again.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Arlene Heckel again, one of your compliance specialists. Michael Carbajal worked for the Arizona Department of Public Safety from April 2016 to December 2021. On November 21st, 2021, Trooper Carbajal was watching football at his home with his roommates. They were drinking alcohol during the day. He stopped drinking about 1,800 hours. A little later in the evening, Trooper Carbajal decided to drive to a friend's home. A Phoenix PD officer was on his way to work in his private vehicle when he observed the vehicle behind him swerving and driving over the center line into oncoming traffic. The officer took his flashlight and was waving it out his back window to try and get the driver's attention. A Phoenix PD officer, Officer Hines, was driving in the opposite direction towards the officer's vehicle and the vehicle driven by Trooper Carbajal. Due to Trooper Carbajal's vehicle being in the opposing lanes of traffic, Officer Hines had to take evasive action to avoid colliding with Trooper Carbajal's vehicle. Officer Hines initiated a traffic stop, and Trooper Carbajal was the sole occupant of the vehicle. He showed signs of impairment by having bloodshot, watery eyes, slurred speech, and an odor of alcohol. Officer Hines conducted the horizontal gaze nystagmus test and observed six clues. Trooper Carbajal was unable to complete the other standardized field sobriety test. Trooper Carbajal was arrested for driving under the influence and was taken to the Mountain View precinct where the blood was drawn for testing. Phoenix PD contacted DPS and advised them of the arrest, and an internal investigation was initiated. The scientific analysis results from the blood sample for Trooper Carbajal returned with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.244. Charges were submitted for DUI, extreme DUI, and a passing violation. On December 3rd, 2021, Trooper Carbajal was interviewed by Internal Affairs. He estimated he had drank 12 to 15 shots of vodka while he was watching football that day. He admitted he felt the effects of the alcohol while he was driving, and he admitted he made a bad decision. On December 13th, 2021, Trooper Carbajal resigned from DPS. Based on the facts of this case. Staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Questions, comments? Not entertain a motion. And Sandy, for the record, he's recused.
Mr. Chairman, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Cobble Hall's Peace Officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Just a second.
Thank you, Ms. Weiss. Any further discussion? There are none. All in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-059. Good afternoon, Mr. McIntyre.
Good afternoon, Chairman. Members of the board. This matter involves former DPS state trooper recruit Timothy A. Curtis, who was hired by DPS on February 2, 2021 and separated from DPS on March 29, 2021. On March 26, 2021, at about 11:40 at night, Pinal County Sheriff's Deputy Ron Reyes was dispatched to a residence in Santan Valley in regard to a domestic violence incident. There he met with the victim, Lauren, and her 11-year-old daughter, Isabella. He saw Lauren was shaking and crying and noted that she had scratches along both arms, possibly dried blood on her right arm, and redness around her neck and upper chest area. After the deputy's initial contact with Lauren, an on-call Pinal County detective, Julius Stoltz, was dispatched to the same scene. In separate interviews, Lauren disclosed to both the deputy and detective very similar renditions of what had occurred earlier that evening. Lauren explained that recruit Curtis has lived at her house for about a year. Earlier that evening, Lauren had a party with some friends and the recruit Curtis and herself. Most were drinking heavily. During the party, recruit Curtis became aggressive and disrespectful towards her, her guests, and Isabella. After her guests left, she went to recruit Curtis's bedroom, located on the first floor of the house, to talk to him about his conduct and his drinking. She described standing near his bedroom door with her left arm resting on the doorknob as she held her $1,200 cell phone in her other hand. Recruit Curtis began cursing at her, so she started to leave the bedroom and grabbed the doorknob. Recruit Curtis moved towards her quickly, slapped her hand off the doorknob. When she grabbed the doorknob again, he shoved her backwards, causing her to hit a bedroom wall. Lauren then told him she was going to call 911. When she opened the bedroom door to exit, Recruit Curtis shoved her from behind, causing her to fall forward, striking the corner wall located adjacent to the bedroom. He then positioned himself behind Lauren and placed his left arm around her neck and applied pressure to her throat and to the neck to the point where she began having difficulty breathing. Lauren told Deputy Reyes, quote, "I didn't know if he was going to stop and let go or squeeze tighter," end of quote. Lauren said she defended herself by fighting back, reaching backwards, placing her hands around his neck, and started to squeeze and claw at him. When he let her go, Lauren ran down the hall and tried to call 911. Recruit Curtis followed her, grabbed her cell phone, and threw it across the room into the kitchen, breaking the cell phone screen. Recruit Curtis then followed her into the living room, where he again continued to push and shove her on a sofa and near the dinner table. He then grabbed his own cell phone and tried to break it, and then he threw it in the kitchen. Lauren reported that Isabella, who had been watching these events from the stairs, used her own cell phone to call 911, which she handed to her mother. Lauren then requested help from the operator. Isabella told Deputy Reyes that she had heard the commotion and came down the stairs when she saw recruit Curtis chasing her mother, shoving her into the living room and kitchen area. She recalled seeing him taking her mother's cell phone and throwing it into the kitchen. At that point, Isabella dialed 911. Lauren agreed to be examined by a SANE nurse and was driven to the facility by Detective Stoltz. While en route, Lauren disclosed that she had PTSD, and the evening events had made her flashback to when she'd been kidnapped, tortured, and brutally raped at the age of 16 by a man named Jared. Lauren was examined and was then interviewed by the same nurse. Lauren's statements to the nurse were consistent with what she had previously told Deputy Reyes and Detective Stoltz. The medical examination showed injuries to Lauren's neck, back, right shoulder, arm, leg, foot, and the inside of her mouth. After returning Lauren to her daughter's house, Detective Stoltz briefed her day shift supervisor, requesting that if Recruit Reyes showed up at the station, to place him into custody, and she would interview him based on the following facts establishing probable cause. Quote, injuries consistent with Lauren's statement of physical assault and strangulation. Isabella's brief description to Detective Reyes of what she had seen at the scene, and Laura's consistent account of what had happened. On March 30th, 2021, after returning from her days off, Detective Stoltz talked to Lauren, who recanted her previous statements about the assault. She refused to press charges against Recruit Curtis or aid in his prosecution. Lauren explained that she was drunk that evening and had a full-blown PTSD attack. She believed Recruit Curtis was her attacker when she'd been going back to when she'd been kidnapped and tortured and raped by Jared. She explained her injuries were caused by her five large dogs jumping on her during her PTSD attack. Lauren agreed to have Isabella forensically interviewed the next day. On March 30th, 2021, Detective Stoltz also interviewed Recruit Curtis, who claimed only having a few drinks at the party and had not attacked Lauren, but had protected her from falling during her PTSD attack. He explained Lauren had been stumbling around, so he, quote, lightly grabbed her like a hug and kept her from hurting herself. She reacted by saying, "Jaron, get off of me," and slammed him and slapped him several times. He then moved away from her and didn't touch her. Lauren cussed him and told him to leave the house. She then grabbed his cell phone and smashed it on the ground. Detective Stoltz said because of the totality of the situation, did not take Recruit Curtis into custody at that time. On March 31st, Lauren brought Isabella to be forensically interviewed. On April 1, 2021, Detective Stoltz spoke telephonically with Lauren, during which the detective explained that when Laura was forensically interviewed, her statements were consistent with the original statements provided to her on March 26, 2021, which were supported by the evidence obtained by the same nurse. Based on the totality of the facts, Detective Stoltz submitted charges against Recruit Reyes of aggravated assault strangulation, aggravated assault with injuries, aggravated assault by restraint, kidnapping, and criminal damage. On August 18th, 2021, Detective Stoltz received notification from the Pinal County Attorney's Office that they declined prosecution against Recruit Curtis due to the unreasonable likelihood of conviction. The case has been closed. Based upon the facts of this case, recommend the board proceed with proceedings. Answer any questions.
Thank you, sir. For the record, Colonel. Okay. Recused. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Curtis.
Thank you, Professor. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. White. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, signify by saying nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Next case, 2021-106, Mr. McIntyre.
Ron McIntyre again.
I think you have an error. I think you have an error in this case. You have him down as a DPS trooper recruit?
Yes.
In this case, Reyes, isn't he an El Mirage recruit?
Reyes is not. He's with El Mirage.
In alleged conduct, you got him as a DPS recruit.
Oh.
Yeah. What's that?
That's wrong.
Mr. Chairman, I would suggest we pull this and we'll bring it back to another future meeting. I apologize for that.
We shall concede. Thank you. We'll move on. That is tabled. Next case. Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Next case, 2020-052. Mr. Tport. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is Dave Toporek, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves two allegations committed by then La Paz County Sheriff's Deputy Recruit Dominic Horn, which include disorderly conduct by fighting and false reporting to law enforcement. Horn was a recruit in the police academy at the time of occurrence, making this a denial of licensing action. On March 22nd, 2020, at approximately 0200 hours, Lake Havasu City Police were dispatched to a report of numerous individuals fighting in a dirt lot between businesses in the area of BJ's Bar in Lake Havasu City. As officers arrived in the area, they began to check for individuals that had been involved in the altercation. A Lake Havasu City police officer observed a subject with a muscular build who matched the description of one of the people involved in the incident and spoke with him. He was identified as Dominic Horn. The officer asked Horn what had occurred at BJ's. Horn told the officers that he was not part of anything and he was waiting for his friend. According to the officer, he again asked Horn if he was at BJ's, and Horn said he was with his friend and was being picked up. The officer documented that Horn appeared intoxicated and was being evasive in answering questions. Due to another officer possibly being out with the suspect, the contact with Horn was ended. A short time later, Horn was recontacted by Lake Havasu City officers. Horn was asked what had happened, and he said he saw a bunch of people in a fist fight when he came outside, and that was it. Horn was asked if he was involved in a fight in any way, and he replied no, it was all inside. He and a friend were outside and did not know what was going on. While in fact there was an altercation inside the bar, surveillance video shows that at approximately 2:09 a.m., a lone male walked up to a group that includes Horn outside of the bar. A member of the group places a hand on the subject, who takes a step back. Horn then shoves the subject, causing him to fall to the ground. A skirmish ensues between the lone individual and other members of Horn's group. Security personnel from the bar intervene and separate the individuals. On March 22, 2020, at approximately 21:44 hours, officers conducted a post-Miranda interview with Horn. Horn explained that he and several friends went to BJ's for drinks. While outside of BJ's, waiting for their Uber, he heard a commotion coming from inside the bar. When he looked inside, there was a fight, but he walked away to wait for his ride. While waiting outside, a subject started running at him at a fast pace, and he pushed the subject because he did not know why he was approaching them so quickly. They then started walking away, and when he turned around, he saw people fighting. Horton was issued a citation for disorderly conduct and for false reporting. On June 4, 2020, Horn entered into a stipulated guilty plea in the Lake Havasu City Municipal Court. As part of the agreement, Horn pled guilty to one count of disorderly conduct, a Class 1 misdemeanor, and received summary probation. The false reporting was dismissed. Horn was terminated by the LaPaz County Sheriff's Office in March as a probationary employee due to the incident. It should be noted that this case was placed on hold at the request of Mr. Horn, pending the board's decision regarding temporary denial cases. Based on the circumstances of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. Any questions? Comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Jamie Kelly, I move to initiate proceedings to deny peace officer certification to Mr. Horn.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, I say nay. Chair votes aye, motion carries. Finally, the last case of the day, 2021-070. Mr. DePork, back to you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this case involves two allegations involving City of Goodyear Police Lieutenant Joseph Pacello, as described in the case overview. In August 2020, Goodyear Police Department Detective Jamie C. reported alleged misconduct, including alleged criminal violations on the part of Lieutenant Pacello, to the City of Goodyear Chief of Police. The chief requested the Chandler Police Department investigate the criminal allegations, and the Arizona Department of Public Safety conduct an administrative investigation. The Chandler Police Department investigation focused on allegations of sexual assault that reportedly occurred in approximately February 2017 at the residence of Pacello. On or about October 2020, the Chandler Police Department closed their investigation pending the discovery of further evidence in the case. Upon that closure of the criminal investigation, the Arizona Department of Public Safety Internal Affairs Unit began their investigation. The administrative investigation revealed that in July or August 2015, Pacello and Jamie met in the parking lot of a gym. According to Pacello, he went into recruiting mode, explaining the opportunities offered by the Goodyear Police Department. Pacello and Jamie began to train together at the gym. In either September or October 2015, Pacello and Jamie became intimate and continued to engage in a confidential, consensual extramarital relationship that lasted until 2019. At an unknown date, Jamie told Pacello that she was interested in becoming the department's first female SWAT operator. Pacello said that he altered his training style to prepare Jamie for the SWAT test. Pacello described his training style as that of a drill instructor or SEAL team instructor. He said that he was training Jamie to be someone who could, quote, stand next to somebody and not quit, unquote. In late 2016 or early 2017, Jamie met another City of Goodyear employee through an online account. The two went to lunch and were observed by other members of the police department. After Lieutenant Pacello became aware of the luncheon, he and Jamie argued about it over the next several days. Both Jamie and Pacello agreed that their argument was never resolved. On a Saturday following their argument, the training incident occurred at the residence of Pacello. Jamie and Pacello provided conflicting accounts of what occurred. A basic summary of the incident is, on a Saturday following their argument, Pacello called Jamie and invited her over to his residence. By the time she had arrived, and without her knowledge, Pacello had filled his master bathtub with ice and water. A blindfold, handcuffs, and a Dremel tool were in the kitchen. At some point after her arrival, Pacello handcuffed and blindfolded Jamie, escorted her to the master bathroom, and removed the blindfold. Jamie was exposed to the pre-staged cold water in the bathtub in a manner requiring her to hold her breath multiple times. After multiple exposures, Pacello removed the handcuffs, and they returned to the kitchen. Jamie performed oral sex on Pacello before leaving his residence. Please refer to case notes 5, 16, and 17 for more detailed information concerning that incident. In August of 2020, investigators interviewed a neighbor of Jamie. The neighbor verified the fact that she lived across the street from Jamie from about 2008 until 2020. When asked if she ever witnessed any suspicious behavior involving Jamie, she advised that there was a gentleman who was constantly harassing her, Jamie. She remembered one incident which she witnessed where this person was yelling and screaming, trying to open Jamie's door. She identified this person as Joe, a lieutenant with the Goodyear Police Department, who she described as a white male, approximately 5'7", stocky, and works out a lot. She described the one particular incident she remembered was possibly in the summer of 2019. She was inside her home and through the window observed Joe talking with Jamie through her security door. She could not hear what they were saying, but Joe appeared very animated and angry. Joe kept trying to open the door, but the security door was locked. She advised that Joe was pacing back and forth, putting his arms up in the air, and appeared to be yelling. He would walk away as if he was going to leave, then would come back to the door and continue to argue. The neighbor said it appeared that Jamie was crying based on her behavior and actions. Jamie was holding a box of tissue and appeared to be wiping her eyes and nose. At some point, Jamie shuts the door, and Joe tries again to open the security screen door, but it was locked. He knocked on the door, but she did not answer, and Joe finally left. The administrative investigation resulted in the following sustained policy violations against Lieutenant Pacello: infamous misconduct, conduct unbecoming, discredit to the department, and disparate treatment of subordinates. On March 19, 2021, Joseph Pacello was terminated from employment with the Goodyear Police Department. Pacello appealed the firing, and a hearing was conducted in accordance with City of Goodyear policy. The hearing officer upheld the termination of Pacello and agreed that there was sufficient evidence that Pacello violated the above-listed Goodyear Police Department policies. On April 27, 2021, the termination report was received from the Goodyear Police Department regarding Lieutenant Pacello, which indicated that the agency was aware of conduct that may violate Arizona Post rules. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that might have.
Thank you, sir. For the record, Professor is recused on this case. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Pacello's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Colonel. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Deputy Director. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Director.
I don't dare have future agenda items to discuss today, but we will need to discuss at the next meeting if we'd like to have a meeting in July. I know at a previous meeting I said it would conflict with the summit and Flagstaff, but they're actually two different weeks. So we could actually hold our meeting here locally the week before and then be up in Flagstaff for the summit. So I'll agendize it for next month and we can discuss.
Okay. Sounds good. Any final comments from board members? Size, thank you for the working lunch.
Break the lunch.
It's the longest meeting I think I've ever sat through. Right?
It's definitely the longest one for me, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. I entertain a motion for adjournment.
Come on.
The meeting's ended. Thank you all. Have safe travels home.